Well, I'm just going to share it real quick while you guys are receiving the offering. You guys know that God is other than. Do you know God? God is God, and we're people. We were made by God. We're created by God, but God stands alone in the universe, and that's why David said, "There is none like you." There's none like you, because God stands outside of his creation. In the created order that God made, you know, you start with angels, you've got people, you've got humans, you've got mammals, you know, whales and elephants and all the animals, all the way down to amoebas and stuff. And that's God's created order, but God stands outside of that. So who can understand God? How can these brains that are finite, that are limited, only so much computer power, only so much ability to grasp, that live in the natural, understand someone who doesn't live in the natural, who lives completely in a supernatural realm, in a spirit realm? How can we comprehend out? How can we reach out to God? How can we know him? If you look at like the Bible, some of the Bible, when they try to describe the things, when John was caught up in heaven, he was trying to describe some of the things he saw, right? And what he said was, it's like a man. It was like one of the creatures is like a man. It's like a that, because he didn't know what it was. He'd never seen one of those before. The creatures, the living creatures that are in the throne room of heaven. He's never seen one of those before. And so if those things were created by God, if they stand in the created order, what about the one that sits on the throne? How can our minds grasp him? How can we come to understanding? We ask that one of the prayers that we pray here a lot is spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God. We want to know him. How can we know God? How is that? How can that happen? I'm going to try and talk about that a little bit today. And then, how can we deal with our sin? Okay? We don't talk a lot about sin here. We talk a lot about God because, you know, we don't talk about a lot about darkness. We talk a lot about light. So we don't talk a lot about fear because we talk about love. Because perfect love casts out fear. Light casts out darkness. Amen? So we don't spend a lot of time talking about that, but how are we changed? How are we transformed? How does that happen? David said he was a man after God's heart, right? This is really important. He was the man after God's heart. So God chose him because of his heart towards God, right? So David said, one thing I've desired and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. So we're just going to talk about the one phrase, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Okay? He said, one thing I've desired, and that will I seek. And I talked about last week is, if I asked you today in this room, if I asked every person in this room, how many of you desire to see the beauty of God, everyone's hands would go up. Right? Hello, anybody who doesn't want to see the beauty of God, raise your hand right now. Everybody wants to see the beauty of God. Our hearts long for the supernatural realm, the beauty realm of God. It's a realm that it'll take us and transform us. It changes. That when our eyes see the beauty of Jesus, it actually gets on inside of us and changes the inside of us from the inside out. It changes us. It transforms us. So everyone desires to see the beauty of God, but he said, one thing I've desired, and that will I seek. how many of you who desire will seek. Okay? There's a price to be paid for seeking. Okay? What is the price, you ask? A lot of time in meditation, a lot of time in aloneness with God, in solitude with God, a lot of time in with the scriptures and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. A lot of time. It takes a lot of time to be transformed in this life. You're not going to actually come in for the internship and do 2 weeks and completely be transformed by the beauty of God. I don't know. Maybe it can happen. Actually, a lot of me was transformed in an instant. It actually was my salvation experience. And the heavens opened up, and I saw a light coming from heaven. And when that light touched me, my spiritual eyes were open, and I could see darkness. I could actually see the clouds around me. And as the light was shining on me, the clouds were dissipating around me. I saw this. Well, I didn't see this with these eyes, okay? These eyes are worthless for what I'm talking about. Actually, if you close these eyes, you can open the other eyes. It's the other eyes you need to look at. Look with, okay? So it's beholding the beauty of the Lord. So there is a price that has to be paid to behold the beauty of the Lord. Salvation is free. Salvation is by grace through faith. And you know what? You can't add anything to it. You can't do one thing to win your salvation. Nothing. It's completely by grace. By grace are we saved, right? Nothing you can do. But to know God, that's a different story. Okay? And Steve was talking about pathways to holiness. I think that's what really Steve was talking about, is how we actually press in to the one we want to the one we want to see. How we press into the one we want to see. Okay. So I've got some scriptures I want to share real quick with you. All right. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 14. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to that. I'm going to read it either way. It doesn't matter if you have it or not. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed him what? How? Through his Spirit. How has God revealed them? Repeat. God reveals the things that we can't see with eyes, that we can't hear with ears, that our physical realm we can't comprehend with our minds, but it is revealed by the Spirit of God. So there is no way that we're going to be, that the natural man, so it says the natural man cannot comprehend the things that are of God. You know, there's a lot of doctrines and religions, and they're actually false religions that are set up completely on this idea. If I can't understand it, that's not God for me. I have to comprehend it. Well, you know what the Bible says? You can't comprehend it. You know what? If anybody tells you that they know everything there is about God, either they're God or they're liars. Because the only one that can comprehend someone who is limitless, someone who lives in infinity, someone who's infinite in nature, is only someone with an infinite mind. No computer, no mind. I don't care if you're Einstein or Einstein's grandmother, you cannot figure out God. God is he's too rich. He's too awesome. The Bible says that the entire universe dwells within Christ. Just read Colossians sometime. All the universe consists within him, within Christ. And the Bible says that all the fullness of the Godhead, meaning everything that is God, think about that. All the fullness of God dwelt in Christ. Bodily. That means in his body, God, everything that was God dwelt within Christ. I'm not done. And the Bible says that Christ in you is the hope of glory. We're talking about everything that's in the universe is in Christ. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ, and that Christ dwells within you, and you and that Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's good, isn't it? That's good. That wasn't even part of the message. Okay. I want to read something. A mystic, Michael Molinos, talking about beholding the beauty of God. He said this. I'm going to say it a few times because it's really rich. Some things that Michael Molinos said, I've read like a chapter of his book, and it seems like I've read, you know, a sea. An ocean of wisdom and revelation. It's unbelievable how much understanding these old mystics had. Okay, so he said, only by faith and love are we able to glimpse at him. That's God. Only by faith and love. As we love him and as we have faith in him, we're able to glimpse at him. And though this knowledge is very cloudy, vague and general, okay, so it's a knowledge that is not perfect. It's not a perfect vision that we have, right? It's a cloudy. It's as in a mirror, darkly. Okay? So, though this knowledge is very cloudy, vague, and general, yet being supernatural, okay, because it's supernatural, because it's other than, because it's a knowledge that is Holy Spirit, it's out of this realm of the natural, okay? Supernatural. It produces a far more clear and perfect cognition of God than any sensible or particular apprehensions that can be formed in this life, since all our corporal and sensible images are remote from God. So what we can sense with our mind and with our heart, and with what we see on the earth, it says, like a lion, like a this, like a that. But you know what? When they say God, it's, you know, they don't even say like anything, because he's not like anything. He's unlike everything. Okay, so we're going to talk about beholding the beauty of God. Have you ever had a sin that just is just like, it hounds you? This stupid thing that you do that is part of your life, it's become a stronghold in your life. And you're always thinking about that. You can't believe that has actually got a hold of you and is taken over. And, you know, how many know what I'm talking about? Come on now. Nobody else, right? Okay. All right. So some are being truthful, some are not, but that's okay. Okay. So let's talk about how we deal with those sins, okay? It's important that we don't concentrate on our sin. That we don't look at that sin. Let's just make up a sin. I don't know. Whatever. Make up a sin. You guys just call out a sin. Whatever. Lying, okay. And that lying always, it's always, we always lie, okay? So if we continually think about, I'm a liar, I'm a liar, I'm a liar, guess what? That's a self-fulfilling prophecy. We're gonna become liars because that's all we think about is lying. Okay? So whatever it is that's bothering you, it may be pornography. Could be get that computer. Whatever it is. As long as your mind is caught up in that problem, in that realm of that difficulty, of that issue, of the weakness that you have, if your mind is on the weakness, then you're never going to be able to move from that weakness because you're always constantly beholding your weakness. You guys understand what I'm saying? Okay. All right, so what do we look at? Okay. Beholding principle. We become like what we behold. As we experience spiritual union with God, we are changed. How can that be? How can we really be changed? That is why it's so important we move from sin consciousness to God consciousness. You know, when I'm talking years ago, they had a revival in Melbourne years ago. I mean, in the 70s, some probably was like in the 70s or maybe it was in the 90s. I don't remember. But anyway, revival in Melbourne, supernatural revival, power of God and everything. I went down there. My wife went down there and David Ruiz was doing worship. First time I ever heard him. The guy got his keyboard, and I mean, the glory of God hit that place. And the city was moving in revival. The glory of God so filled that room that have you ever been so overcome by the fear of God that you wanted to go up under a pew and hide? Because the fear of the Lord was in that place. And every time that I would get in the presence of God like that, that's what would happen to me. I'd sit there and I'd go, oh my God. I'm a sinner. I mean, I would just rehearse all of my sins and all of my problems before God. Anytime I felt God's power, anytime I felt God's beauty, anytime I got into that realm, that supernatural realm, I always got, oh my God, I'm a sinner, you know? And some of that is good, but some of that is not good. You need to move out of that place and begin to experience God. You know, God, if God is revealing his presence, let's just think about it. If God is revealing his presence to you, wouldn't you think maybe that could be his invitation? Couldn't that be that God really wants to spend time with you? And he's overlooking your weaknesses, your fears, your sin, and he doesn't really care about that. He wants to go, he wants to have time with you, and he wants to deal with that later. Couldn't it be that he accepts us like we are? Could it be that God really is not religious? Could it be? I'm just saying. Could it be that God is not religious and he is really the one that loves you regardless? He just loves you with an everlasting love. Could it be that God's love is that crazy that he would love me and he would love you in your weakness, and that he would draw near to you? Could it be that he knows how to take care of that problem you've got? Could it be that he's chosen you from the foundation of the world and you don't even know who you are? Could it be that he's chosen you to be holy and blameless before the foundation of the world, before the world was created, that he chose you? Before the world was even created, before he died on the cross, before there was any provision for your sin, that he knew you? Could it be that he loves you like that? That every hair on your head, he knows. He counts. And he cares about every little thing that happens to you, even the things that your parents said to you, the things that your father said to you, the things that your mother said to you, the things that have been hurtful in your life, the way that your teachers looked at you. Could it be that God cares about all that? Really? Really? Is that God? Is that really the God we're talking about? Could he know all that? Could he care about all that? Could he be that kind? Could he be that tender? That's not the religion I grew up in. Bible says with unveiled face, okay? So with unveiled face, that's talking about taking the veil off our face. Beholding as in a mirror. And mirrors were dark in those days. I mean, they made them out of polished metal. So they weren't like perfect images. They weren't like glass images. They were cloudy images, okay? It's like looking maybe into water or something like that. You saw your image, but it wasn't perfect. And so looking as in a mirror, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. So we are being as we behold the glory. What is the glory of God? Does anybody know what the glory of God is? What are they talking about when they're talking about the glory of God? They're talking about his goodness. When Moses said, God, let me see your glory. What did God say? He spoke all his goodness over him. Okay? That's what we're talking about. As we behold the goodness of God. Okay, let's just take one little time. Okay, I've probably shared this testimony 100 times, but I'm going to share it again because it's right. It fits right perfectly in here. How do we behold the beauty of God? How does that happen? It could happen all by yourself. Just meditation. You could be just staring at the river and you just caught up into the beauty of God and you see something in God. It could be that you reading a scripture. It could be that someone is sharing a word and you see something in that word that, you know, it could be sharing. Anyway, I was watching a video one day. I was sitting in the back of the room and the guy was talking about Jesus on the cross of Calvary and the sacrifice that Jesus paid for us. And I was really struck by that. And then he was talking about that he went before the people that would crucify him. And the fact that Jesus was meek in that he could have called, the Bible says he could have called legions of angels. That Jesus had at his disposition legions of angels, thousands of angels who could have come to save him from his problem. But yet, he was still humble and meek. And so I remember thinking about that. I was just, this is how I, okay, I'm just closing my eyes and I'm going, wow. How does that happen? And I actually said with my mouth, and God heard me. I said, God, I don't understand that at all. I don't understand that meekness. How you, I mean, you being God, would come to the earth. I mean, I'm playing it, you know, the whole story. You're God. You're the ruler of the universe. You stand outside of creation. You came. You died for me. And you sat there and you let them spit on you. And I just don't understand that, God. I can't understand that. That kind of meekness, I don't comprehend. So, and when I said I don't comprehend, I heard it so clearly in my ear. And God said, You don't understand that because you're proud and you come from a proud family. And so I was shocked by that. I mean, I'd heard that through the years, you know, when I've been in church and I was an elder in the church and worship leader. And I'd always heard, you're proud and you come from a family that's proud. People said, my family was proud. You remember, Heather? You know us. So anyway, so I'm sitting there going, okay, I've heard that before, but God is saying that. And so I'm starting to deal with that. I'm starting to go, okay, I let that sink in. I let that get in my heart. I deal with that, okay? Okay, could it be true that you're so different, that you're so great, that you're so awesome? I'm seeing your glory. And I know I can't be like you. I can't do that. But God, I don't want to be like I am right now. I don't want to be proud. So I let that thing sink in. And when I did, the fire of God began to just began to course over me. Every time I tell a story, it's the same thing. I mean, so I'm sitting there letting that thing just work on me. I feel the fire of God. And I'm starting to cry a little bit, you know, in the back of the room. And I'm like trying to wipe them off, you know, trying to make sure nobody sees me, you know. And by the time I get home, I am completely crying like a child, like a baby, just completely. And my wife is going, no, baby, no, that's not God. You don't have to do that. God is not like that. You don't have to be like that. And I was going, no, God told me I'm proud. And so I'm letting that thing, you know, work in me. It's working its work. And I'm beholding the beauty of God. You know, this is real fellowship. That's what I'm talking about. This is fellowship. When you behold, let me tell you, it could be positive, it could be negative. The bottom line is, when heaven is touching earth, something is going to change. When heaven touches earth, and guess what? It ain't going to be heaven. It's not going to be God. He's not changing. He's immutable. That's one of the principles of the word. God cannot change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's not changing. So guess who is? Me. And you. So I'm fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. I threw my clothes on the floor. I just threw my clothes on the floor. I jumped in the bed, and I'm just crying in the bed. And just, you know, the fire and the glory of God, and it was awesome. I was in heaven right there. As I dealt with my sin, I was in heaven. How can that be? Because I didn't feel condemned at all. I didn't feel condemned. I felt loved. See, I'm not talking about, you got to stop this. You got to do this. You're wrong. You got to stop that. No, I'm not talking about that. That's not God. That may be your mother and your father, but that is not God. No, I'm talking about fellowship. In sweet fellowship, the Holy Spirit coursing over me. The fire of God burning that mess out of me. And I'm letting it happen. I'm saying, yes, God. I'm agreeing with God. Yes, I'm proud. Yes, my family's proud. I'm agreeing with God. And I'm letting it happen. And I'm dealing with it. Then my wife jumps in the bed after she told me, that's not God. God is not like that. You know, you don't have to do that. God is not into all that repentance and stuff. I'm saying, babe, I'm not even repenting. I'm just seeing the glory of God. And I realize I am not right. I'm dealing with it myself. In other words, I'm seeing God. I'm seeing myself. And I'm saying, I'm not like that. Comparison and contrast. Okay? I'm comparing myself to Jesus. I know what Jesus looks like. I know he's humble. I know he's meek. I know he's beautiful. And I know I'm ugly and proud. So then my wife jumps in the bed. She goes, oh my God, the Holy Spirit's in here. I'm saying, babe, I've been telling you the Holy Spirit is all over this thing. Come agree with me. You're proud. She goes, no, it's not my family. So as we behold him, we're transformed. We're changed. And you know what? That was a death to me. That was a death. Because I'd heard that all my life. You're proud. You guys are arrogant. You guys are arrogant. You're proud. I said, no, we're not proud. We're just better looking and smarter than everybody. We're not proud at all. I always thought, you know. But then I came into contact with the Holy Spirit, and he said, no, it's real. You're proud. You're proud, and you don't know that because you come from an arrogant family. So many things, we have blind spots, you know? We're blind. We look in the rearview mirror, we think we're getting in the right lane, and you know what? The car is right next to him, we can't see it, and we're running into it because we're blind. We don't have perfect vision. We're blind in that area. So we need Holy Spirit to shine light. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation coming and shining his glory, shining his light in that area and opening our eyes to our problem. All right, so I'm going to share a couple more scriptures and I'm about done. First John 3:2, beloved, now we're the children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be. So John was saying, at this point, when John was writing, it has not been revealed what we will be. Have you guys ever thought about that?